Let's read John 8. So he said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said to him, will he kill himself, since he says, where I am going, you cannot come? He said to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So they said to him, who are you? Jesus said to him, just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge. But he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him. They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. As he was saying these things, many believed.
Well, good evening, everyone. Great to see you. Now, I always get nervous before I preach, always, and I'm really nervous because of my administrative skills. Did I put the talk on for tonight? I did. Great. Which means I didn't, and they did. So thanks, guys. I forgot. As I got up here, I remembered. Sorry. Anyway, let me say welcome again, and don't pay attention. So here's what we were doing, all right? Have a look at this. We're doing working through John's Gospel, and we're doing this kind of like mini-series. And you might be forgiven for saying, I don't remember the first one. That's because Brendan preached, so it might have been slightly different. But in essence, what we're doing, not that you didn't remember because Brendan preached. Jeez, I've started well tonight. But what I mean is, this is John chapter 8, and these are a great, you know, it's like a spiring cathedral, and you're at the highest pinnacle of John's Gospel. But I'm going to say that about every chapter. John 8 is amazing. It's all about the I Am. And so on the 2nd of October, we looked at I Am the Light. Tonight, I Am He. I Am the Sun next week, and just I Am the week after that. It's a magnificent chapter. And when I first introduced this, I don't know if you remember, I said this. Sometimes teaching the Bible is like being a tour guide, where you take a bunch of people with big cameras around their necks and you take them to some spectacular sight. And it's so amazing. Like, what do you say? You know, words just fail you. And so what you do is you step back and you just go, look, you know, let it speak for itself. And that's why we love expository preaching at this church, because at this church, as we just let Jesus describe Jesus to us, you know, you want to stand back and let him do the talking. And I think that's what you're going to see tonight and through the whole of John chapter 8. It truly is remarkable. Let me pray, and I'm going to ask Jesus to be our tour guide and to show us himself in his own words, and then we'll jump in. Let me pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we saw pretty things today. We see beautiful things every now and then. But who can describe seeing God? And yet that is who you are. And so we ask you tonight, will you describe yourself to us? Will you reveal yourself? Not just so that we can stand in awe, but so that we can be saved. So that we can know you, that there is nothing like you. There is no glory like your glory. There is no beauty like your beauty. Please will you come. Lord, open our minds, open our hearts. Do this incredible work, we pray. Amen. Now, I met someone, I was up in Exmouth, and I met someone 2 weeks ago who's not yet a Christian. But I don't know about you, but every now and then you meet someone who's just so accomplished.
maybe I've got a inferiority complex or something, because I don't often do it, but I meet someone and I just think, oh, I wish I was them. You know, you just, maybe you've had that experience. You meet someone who just got it all. They just got it together. So this guy, fitness fanatic, keen swimmer. I swim, but he can swim. You know, just a brilliant swimmer, super capable at everything he does. Funny guy, attractive guy, successful businessman, pretty wealthy. He travels a lot. I'd like to travel, you know. He travels all the time. Married for a very long time, happily married. He's a few years older than me, which means he's pretty young. He's just got it all. To be honest, I just think he's the Aussie ideal. I mean, I think that's what Australians want to be. They want to be like this guy. He's got a huge house. I've been to his house. Massive house right next to the beach. Got every toy imaginable, kites, surfboards, diving, motorbikes, big bikes, small bikes, cars. He's got it all. Jet ski, he's got everything. Just the Aussie ideal. And I got to know him. And so I said to him, so tell me. I'm not going to tell you his name. So I said to him, what do you think of Jesus? What do you think of Jesus? What do you think of Christianity? And he gave me this answer, more or less. I'm not just a word for word. This is what he said. And I think his answer is typical of most people in Australia. Listen to this. He said, mate, so that's very Australian, eh? Mate, I've got no worries about Christianity. If you found something that helps you cope or be a better person, I respect that. Everyone's got something that makes them cope and be a better person, and I respect their choice. Now, what do you guys think of that? I just thought that's great. I mean, that's awesome. It's very polite. It's that kind of attitude that makes Australia such a great country. Where, hey, mate, it's good for you, and it's your choice, and it makes you cope. You know, I just think that's a great attitude. It makes Australia very pleasant. But as I thought about it, underlying his answer is the simple belief that it's all just a matter of choice. It's just your choice. You've got your choice, and that helps you be a better person. And he's got his, and that helps him be a better person, and it's all okay. I call this view of religion, only me, no one will ever use this phrase but me, I call it the Vegemite view of religion. This is the Vegemite view of belief. See, Vegemite is a matter of taste. Vegemite is a matter of personal preference. You either like Vegemite or you don't. It's no big deal. And I think it's un-Australian not to like Vegemite. But that's so. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Everything is a matter of personal choice, personal preference. It's the Vegemite view of belief. Take it or leave it. It's not a big deal. The problem, though, is that not everything is a matter of choice. Not everything is a matter of choice. There are some things that are a matter of life and death. And unless you do them, you will die a horrible death. Let me give you some examples. Here's an example. Look at this. Unless you eat, you will die of starvation. There's nobody in this room who's got a choice. You do not have a choice. That choice was taken away from you. You must eat or you will die of starvation. You can decide what to eat, and I suggest to you try Vegemite again, because you will live longer if you eat Vegemite. But what you eat is up to you, but that you eat, you don't have a choice. You must do it. There's no choice involved. Here's a very obvious one. Unless you breathe, you will die of suffocation. You have to breathe. It's not your personal choice. If you don't breathe, you will die. Here's another example. Unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Do you like that one? Do you agree with that one? That's harder. And yet that is exactly what Jesus says. Jesus Christ says that unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. It's not a matter of personal choice. It's not a matter of preference. Have a look at what Jesus says in verse 24. He says it so clearly. I told you that you would die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. This is more important than eating and breathing. Why? Because listen, just let's be logic here. Eating and breathing can only keep you alive temporarily. Eating and breathing won't keep you alive forever. One day, you will stop breathing. You will wish you could. You will try. My mum died this year. She tried to breathe, and she couldn't anymore. She died. You will one day not eat. When my mum passed away, she spent 3 days of no eating. She just couldn't take food anymore before she passed away. One day you won't eat either. Breathing and food will be taken from you. You'll have no choice. You will die. But when you die, what will happen to you? What will happen to you when you die? According to Jesus, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. We are going to spend tonight thinking about one sentence. It is so weighty. I have no fear of telling you that what you're going to hear tonight is the most important thing you'll ever hear. But come next Sunday and you'll hear the most important thing you're ever going to hear again. Because we just talk about what Jesus said. Tonight we're going to look at one sentence. Unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. And we're going to split it up just into two sections so we can really get our heads around what does Jesus mean. Unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Number one, unless you believe that I am He. Straight away, what you can see from this is that Jesus thinks His identity is critically important. Unless you believe that I am He. Christianity is based on the identity of its founder. It's critical. Christianity is not so much the moral code of its founder, but the identity of its founder. Gandhi. Here's a quote from Mahatma Gandhi. See, Mahatma Gandhi thinks that's wrong. Mahatma Gandhi thinks that Jesus' identity doesn't matter. Listen to what he says. Gandhi says this, to me, Jesus was one of the greatest teachers humanity has ever had. To his believers, he was God's only begotten Son. Could the fact that I do or do not accept this belief have any more or less influence in my life? Is all the grandeur of Jesus' teaching and his doctrine forbidden to me? I cannot believe so. Do you see what Mahatma Gandhi says? He says who Jesus is doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who he is. But Jesus says something different. Look again at verse 24. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Christianity is not about being a better person. It will make you a better person. But that's not what it's about. Christianity is about knowing a better person. The identity of Jesus is critical. Now, the human race has got lots of sins. You know, sins, the things you do wrong. I don't need to tell you what a sin is because your conscience tells you what it is. We've all got sins. And what we love to do as human beings is rank them. So you've got sins that don't really matter. So today, I'm married for 21 years today. A lucky lady. And but seriously, you know, my wife once came late to school. And that's, I think, the worst thing she's ever done, you know. And so that's low. But maybe you tell white lies. White lies are a little bit worse, but hey, you know. Or blue lies, or red lies, or green lies, or purple, whatever. All the way up till racism. Our society thinks that's pretty bad, and I'm glad they do. Maybe the worst sin is child abuse. That's probably the worst one, don't you think? Yeah, that's probably the highest of the pile. What do you think Jesus puts at the highest of the pile? Well, according to Jesus, to not recognize who he is the number one sin. It will disqualify you forever. Look at what he says in verse 21. So he said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. Now look what Jesus says. He says to them, I'm going away, and you will seek me. What do you mean? You know, they're not going to look for Jesus. They actually want him to go away. You know, the sooner he goes away, the better, and don't come back. So what does he mean, you will seek me? The answer is, he's talking to the Jews. And he's saying to them, because you don't recognize who I am, when I'm gone, you're going to keep looking for the Messiah. You're going to keep searching for the Christ because you don't recognize I'm it. You don't see that I'm the Christ. So when I'm gone, you're going to keep hoping for the Christ. And I have to tell you, 2,000 years later, most Jews have given up. It's been so long, I don't know if this Christ is ever going to come. But that's what Jesus is saying. You don't recognize who I am, so you'll keep looking for the Christ. But look what he says. And you will die in your sin. That is a singular. It's a singular. Not sins, singular. Here's what Jesus is saying. Your great guilt, the thing that you will carry to the grave, is the fact that you don't recognize who I am. That's your sin. That's what's going to kill you. That's what you're going to take to the grave. So the identity of Jesus is critical. We must get it right. Who is he? When Jesus says this, look in verse 24, I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So surely the question tonight is, who is Jesus? Who is he? Who is the I am he? Look at the question they ask him. They ask the same question, verse 25. So they said to him, well, who are you? Who are you? And I want to challenge everyone here tonight. Will you ask that question tonight? Who is Jesus? Look, every one of you here tonight and me, you've got an opinion about Jesus. Some of you are convinced, but that's okay. Open your minds. Think again. Who is Jesus? It's a strange way to talk, eh? Look at verse 24 again. Unless you believe that I am he. It's a strange way to talk, really, if you think about it. I am who? He. Who's he? What this tells me is it means there's precedence. I am he means, duh, you should know. I'm he. Who? It tells me there's precedence. There's someone you should already know. And you need to know that Jesus is talking to Jews who know their Bible. Well, we know they know what he's talking about because look at what they say in verse 25. So they said to him, who are you? It's hard to see it in the English. It's not that they're saying to Jesus, okay, so who are you? It's not like that at all. What they're saying is, whoa, wait a minute. Who are you? Like, whoa, buddy, calm it down a little bit. Are you saying that because Jesus says to them, I am he, they're going, whoa, who do you think you are? See, they understand, and I want to show it to you. This is who Jesus says he is. I am he comes straight out of the Old Testament. Let me show you who Jesus thinks he is. First of all, Isaiah 41 verse 4. This is God speaking. Who has performed and done this, calling the generations from the beginning? I, Jehovah. Lord in capital letters is the word Jehovah, Yahweh. But we don't know how it's really pronounced. So that's why the Bible writes Lord. I, Yahweh, the first and with the last. Look at this. I am he. God says, I am he. I'm the eternal God from the beginning, the first and the last. God says, I am the eternal God. I am he means I am the eternal God. But there's more. Look at this passage. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. God is saying, I'm not just the eternal God. I'm the only God. I am the, when I say I am he, I am the only God. But there's one more. Look at this passage. I am the Lord. Besides me, there is no Savior. I declared and saved and proclaimed when there was no strange God among you. You are my witnesses, declares Jehovah. And I am God. And also, henceforth, I am he. There is none who can deliver from my hand. I work, and who can turn it back? God is saying, I am the saving God. Now, I boiled it. I put it in a pot. I boiled it all down, and this is what came out. I am he means the eternal God, the only God, the saving God. Now, look at what Jesus does in verse 24. I told you that you would die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Jesus is claiming to be the eternal God, the only God, and the saving God. And he does that throughout this passage. Look with me at verse 23. Look at what he says. He said to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world. I'm not of this world. Jesus here is talking about his divine identity. No other human being. Come on. Do you know any human being who thinks they fell from the sky? Do you know anyone who thinks they come from above? Do you know anybody like that? Only Jesus. He says he's got divine origin. I am from heaven. You're from below. I'm from heaven. No one else has ever claimed that sort of thing. More than that, look what Jesus says. I'm not just from above. I am not of this world. In other words, I am a different quality, a different substance. My nature is from above. I have a divine nature. That's what it means to be of heaven. We sometimes talk like that. You go to a restaurant and you say, oh, the food was out of this world. What do you mean the food was out of it? Did it really boom down or what, zoop down or transmogify down or I don't know what the technical word is. I'm trying to think what my kids say when they're gaming. You know when something just appears, but anyway, that word. When you say the food is out of this world, you're not saying it just came. You're saying it's of a different quality. Or like the dress was divine. You know, you're saying it's not of this world. It's amazing. It's like, well, Jesus is saying that's who he is. He's from above. He's of above. He's utterly unique. Ain't nobody like him. But there's more. Jesus doesn't just say he's divine origin and divine identity and divine quality. He also says that whatever he says is perfect, untainted with the dross of this world. Look at verse 26 to 28. Look at how he talks about himself. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true. I declare to the world what I've heard from him. They didn't understand. He had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. I do nothing on my own authority, but speak as the Father taught me. Listen. Jesus speaks divinely. He speaks perfectly. He speaks exactly what the Father speaks. You know, let me try and speak reverently here. Which one of us here has peered into the mind of God? Ooh. Imagine if you could see into God's mind. Well, Jesus is saying, I've been there. And I speak exactly what the Father thinks. I speak exactly what God, Jesus speaks everything perfectly from God. No human can claim that. No human. Poor old Donald Trump. Don't you guys feel sorry for Donald Trump? Poor man. See, here's what's happening to Donald. What's happening is that everything he's ever said in the past is coming back to haunt him. Every wrong word, ooh, ooh, how many times do you think Donald Trump's kicking his bottom, thinking, oh, I shouldn't have said that? Because what's happened is that's what happens when you run for president. When you run for president, you're inviting a giant searchlight to study your life. And every word will come back to haunt you. And so there's people running around digging for dirty on Donald Trump. I mean, if you had Donald Trump at your house for a couple of beers 20 years ago, you're looking for the videotape, you know, Betamax or VHS. You guys don't know what I'm talking about, but that's what they had in those days. You're trying to find it. You know why? Because if you can dig the dirty on Donald, you can sell that sucker for big bucks. Everybody's trying to find something wrong with Donald Trump. And we're all having a good time. But think about how hypocritical we are. Think about it. Just be honest. Have you never said anything bad about women ever in your whole life? Never? Never? Have you never, ever lied? Ever? You've never lied. You've never told an untruth in your whole life. Have you never used the F word? Ever? Never in your whole life. Really? See, if you knew every word that I'd ever said, you would walk out of here. You would just leave. So please don't go. Just hold on a moment. Just stay sitting. Because if I knew every word you'd ever said, I wouldn't talk to you. We're just like Donald Trump. So what's the moral of the story? Don't run for president. No. The moral of the story is think how unique Jesus is. Think about it. He never, ever said a wrong word. Ever. Jesus never said a wrong word. He was never convicted of sin, ever. What he says is exactly what the Father says. Every syllable, every consonant, every vowel. People who heard him speak hung on his words. He was put on a public trial, and Pontius Pilate, who presided over the trial, declared him innocent, completely innocent. For 2,000 years, so we've been studying old Comover for, you know, about 15 years. We've been studying Donald Trump. Jesus has been studied for 2,000 years, and no one's ever found him guilty of saying anything out of place. He's guiltless and peerless. But that can be very frightening. Look at verse 26. I have much to say about you and much to judge. You might be sitting here tonight and you might be thinking, well, that cancels me. I'm never going to run for president. When I was at uni, I did this and they got it on Facebook. So that cancels my presidential aspirations. But you haven't got away with it, because look at what Jesus says. I have much to say about you and much to judge. Jesus knows every single word you've ever spoken. He knows it. He knows what you said. He remembers it well. The fact that Jesus speaks perfectly is terrifying news to people like you and me who have spoken wrong. But Jesus is not just from above and doesn't just speak perfectly. The Father is always with him. Always. Look at what he says in verse 29. And he who sent me is with me. He hasn't left me alone. I always, always do the things that are pleasing to him. This is amazing. Tell me if you think for any moment everything you've ever done has been pleasing to God. Jesus says so. He says everything I've ever done has been pleasing to the Father. It's a staggering claim. You know, my mum loved me. Yeah, my mummy loved me. And you know what she said? I made her happy. She said I pleased her. The thing is, I was her blue-eyed, golden-haired boy. Yes, I had hair. But, you know, she said I was her blue-eyed, golden-haired boy. But here's the thing about mum. She didn't know everything. She wasn't always with me. So she doesn't know. She's gone to her grave thinking I'm an angel. So I got away with that one, you know. Because she doesn't know everything about me and this thing, you know. But even the things she did know, she didn't love all of them. There were things about me she didn't like. And yet I had a close relationship with her. But look at Jesus. He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone. I always do the things that are pleasing to him. In other words, Jesus is saying, the Father is always with me. And he's always delighted in everything I've ever done. Now, friends, what is this? This must be God on earth. Everything he says is perfect and pure. Everything he does is pleasing to the Father. Surely you're dealing with God on earth. Now, what do you think about the things I've said? Unless you believe that I am he. What do you think? Look at verse 30. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. I'm going to ask you straight. If you look at this, I don't see that Jesus is glowing with bioluminescence. Like, he's not levitating as far as I can tell. There's no guitars. I can't see any guitars. He's just talking, and people are believing him. And you have his words in front of you. And so I want to ask you, really, do you believe it? Do you believe that Jesus is he? That Jesus Christ is the eternal God, the only God, and the saving God? Do you believe it? Are you persuaded? Are you absolutely sure? I'm not asking, are you brainwashed? I'm asking you with eyes wide open, the text in front of you, and hopefully your brain revving in the red, are you persuaded? Because if you're not, well, we'll come to it. If you're not, I'd love to know, if Jesus is not God, who is he? Who is Jesus? If he's not God. But I guess, secondly, here's the issue. Does it matter? Unless you believe that I am he, does it matter? It's like Vegemite. Doesn't matter. No, no. Look what Jesus says. Number two. Unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. It is critical. Your forever depends on who you think Jesus is. See, that guy that I was telling you about, the thing about him is he's got it all. I don't know how to say to him, hey, dude, become a Christian and be like me, because that'll be like a demotion. I don't want to be like you. But here's the thing. Unless he believes that Jesus is who he says he is, he's going to die in his sins. This is so crucial. Let me ask you this question. What do you think is the worst thing that can happen to a human being? What's the worst thing that could happen to a human being? What about dying of starvation? That must be horrible. I mean, that must be absolutely awful to actually die. I've seen pictures, you know, like in Ethiopia and Eritrea and places like that. It must be horrible. What about drowning? That must be horrible. That must be horrific. And I was chatting to two ladies from Geraldton earlier. Yesterday, a kite surfer drowned, in Geraldton. What a horrible, horrible way to die. What about cancer? That must be terrible. I mean, your own body, just horrible. I want to say to you, those things are horrible. They're not the worst thing that can happen to you. None of those things are the worst thing, because those things can only kill you. The worst thing that can happen to you is to die unforgiven. To die unforgiven. That's what Jesus means when he says, you will die in your sins. The worst thing that can happen to a human being is to die unforgiven. It's logic. You know, when you die, you leave your cancer behind you. When you die, your cancer's finished. It's gone. It can't touch you anymore. When you die of starvation, you'll never be hungry again. It's finished. Can't touch you no more. But if you die in your sins, you die unforgiven. And you carry those sins with you into the presence of God. That's the worst thing that could happen to a human being. It's the one thing that my friend I was telling you about, is the one thing he lacks. To die unforgiven. Imagine you're playing in the mud. Look, I'm going to make this up, okay? So work with me here. I'm trying to make someone as filthy as possible. So how would you make someone? Okay, it's like this. So imagine you're playing in the mud. You're gardening all day. You know what your fingernails look like when you're gardening? It's just black everywhere, and you're mud all over you. And then suddenly you see, oh, the toilet's leaking. So you go and clean the sewer pipes, and you have to crawl down them and scrub them out, and it's all over your knees and everywhere. And then the dog vomits everywhere, and you clean that up. And then you scratch yourself and realize you've got a sore there that's 10 weeks old, and it's all just pus coming. I'm trying to paint a picture here. So, you know, imagine you are as filthy as possible. And then you decide you're going to go down to Joondalup Hospital and say hello to the guys in the theater. And so you walk through the double doors. Hi, everybody. And there's all these nurses. And they've got masks on. And there's doctors who've been washing their hands like forever. And there's an anesthetist who's bathed in Dettol for 3 weeks. And that's like all sanitized. And they all look up and you walk in. Hi, everybody. How do you think they're going to react? Do you think they're going to, oh, yeah, come on in. Have a seat. And there's a patient with his chest open and parts that should be inside, outside. And it's all, and you're just going to walk up and sit. You are going to get thrown out. They are going to call security, and they are going to haul you out of there. You have no right and no way you can go inside there. And there's no point in, as they're throwing you out, going, whoa, 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 I'm not as dirty as my kids. You should see my children. They're dirty. You should see Hitler. Oh, man, he's got leprosy. He should never be allowed in here. You're out. How do you think you're going to die in your sins and face God? Do you think he's like a nurse in an operating theater? He's 1,000 times worse than that. You are going nowhere. Sin contaminates. There is no chance of entering God's presence with the smallest little sin on your little toe. You will be thrown out. If God has not forgiven you, you're going to die. You're going to stand before the Creator, and he's going to say this to you. You did this. I told you not to. I will never forgive you. That's what God will say. I will never forgive you. And what are you going to say? Oh, well, it's your job, you know. Is that what you're going to say? It's your job to forgive? What are you going to do for God? Pay him some money? Oh, look what I brought. You'll never, I've got something for you here. What are you going to say to God? The Bible actually says what you're going to do. The Bible says this. You're going to try and die, and you won't be able to. That's what the Bible says. You're going to try and die, and you won't be able to. If God is against you, who can be for you? How would you want to die in your sins? Jesus said, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. You know, you go to Pinneru Point, and they got all those graves there, you know, with the little tombstones and that. You know how many of them say this? Gone, but not forgotten. I wonder how many God looks at and it says this. Gone, but not forgiven. Gone, but not forgiven. Now, friends, I know that's sobering. That's not the happiest thing you've heard all day. But Jesus says, these are the words of God. This is the mind of God. I'm telling you what God thinks. I'm telling you what God says. And I want to tell you, as heavy as that is, there is fantastic news. I don't want you to go home unhappy. Are you ready for some really good news? It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't. What's the happy word? Someone find me the happy word. It's the word unless. Unless tells me that there's a way out. There's a way of escape. Hear me. You do not have to die unforgiven. Nobody in this room has to go through this. Nobody has to die unforgiven. I think when you die unforgiven, God's going to say, what were you thinking? Why would you want to stand in front of me unforgiven? You don't have to die unforgiven. Here's what you have to do. Unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Jesus says, if you believe who I am, you won't die in your sins. Now, I want you to think, what's the logic? What's the logic of this passage? Well, are you saying your God, and I'll speak respectfully, is God so petty? The only time he'll forgive me is if I get my theology right. I mean, why? How does one and two relate? Why is it that only when I believe who Jesus is do I get forgiven? What's the logic? And the logic is easy. It's easy to see in this passage. Here's why. Because Jesus came to do something. Something only he could do. Something only God can do. Look at verse 21. Jesus said to them, I am going away. You'll seek me. You will die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come. What's he talking about? Well, they don't understand either, verse 22. So they say, will he kill himself since he says, where I'm going, you cannot come? Which is irony because he's not going to kill himself. They're going to kill him. But look at what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be crucified. He makes it so clear in verse 28. Look at verse 28. So Jesus said to them, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, you will know that I am he and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father has taught me. In John's Gospel, lifting up is a shortism for dying on a cross. Jesus Christ came to die on a cross. That's why you have to believe that I am he. Because he's the he who died on a cross. On the cross, Jesus took your sin. On the cross, Jesus died in your place. Listen to this. On the cross, Jesus died unforgiven. Do you get that? You don't have to die unforgiven. Because on the cross, Jesus died unforgiven. He died in your place. He was punished in your place. He died unforgiven. Unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Do you know why? because Jesus is the only one who died in your sins. Jesus died in your sins. You will either die in your sins, or wouldn't it be cool if someone else died in your sins? That's Jesus. He died in your sins, in your place. Well, Dwayne, how do I know Jesus really did that? How do I know I'm truly forgiven? If I turn and believe in Jesus, that he died in my place, and I trust in him alone, how do I know I'm really forgiven? How do I know this wins me forgiveness with God? Well, here's a last thought for you. Look at verse 28 and 29. So Jesus said to them, when you've crucified me, i.e. lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. Now watch this. He who sent me is with me. He hasn't left me alone. I always do the things that are pleasing to him. Does that include dying on a cross? Yes. Can't you see that it pleased God that Jesus Christ died in your sin? It was the will of the Father. You might be sitting there tonight and you're thinking, God is this monster. God is this ogre. But oh, thank goodness for Jesus, because he's a soft touch. At least Jesus loves me. God's against me, but Jesus loves me. No. Jesus dying on the cross was pleasing to the Father. He loves you so much that he thought, I don't want you to die in your sins. I'm going to send my Son to die in your sins, in your place. Can you not see how much he loves you? How much he loves you. Why would you walk out tonight? Why would you walk out tonight and risk the Mitchell Freeway, which can take your life at any minute, and die unforgiven? Unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Look at verse 26. I have much to say about you and much to judge. Friends, if you read 26 and you don't get frightened, you, and it applies to me too, are self-deceived. To think that Jesus Christ is going to judge me, and he has a lot to say about you, Dwayne. Jesus has got a lot to say about you, Dwayne, is a terrifying thought. So I want to leave you with one last bit of advice. Here's what Jesus said. He said this. Thanks, Britt. Here's what Jesus says. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you're going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you've paid the last penny. Do you know what Jesus is saying? Here's what he's saying. Go for an out-of-court settlement. Don't wait. Some of you are 22, and you're thinking, yeah, absolutely, Dwayne. When I've done my wild thing and been to Thailand and Paris, then I'm going to sort this out. I believe, man. And when I'm 55 and I've done all my stuff, I'm going to become a Christian for sure. Don't think like that. Just come to terms quickly. You don't know when you're next going to have a chance. Don't wait for the court date. Because Jesus says, I've got much to say about you and much to judge. Don't wait for the court date. Go for an out-of-court settlement. Get forgiven now. Unless you believe I am he, you will die in your sins. Don't put it off. Sort it out. I'm going to give you a few moments to think about this. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? What has he done? Where do I stand? Let me give you a few minutes to think about this, and then I've got a prayer. I want to pray a prayer. It's a simple prayer. But if you're a Christian, this is a great prayer for you. If you're not yet a Christian, this is a great prayer for you. It's for everyone. And I'll pray this prayer and you can follow me. But let me give you a few minutes to digest those words. Unless you believe I am He, you will die in your sin. Here is a prayer. It's not a magic formula. It's not a perfect prayer. But I just want to help you. So I'm going to pray it slowly. And if you want, why don't you pray after me quietly in your own heart? Lord Jesus Christ, I know that you know my sin. If I die unforgiven, I will go to hell. But I believe you are the saving God. You died in my sin. Please forgive me. Amen. It's so simple. It's so easy. But God knows your heart. And if you meant that, you've had an out-of-court settlement. You've sorted it out. You are forgiven.